Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 559. And today I'm joined by, in my opinion, living legend. As I said on last week's teaser, unsung hero of grime that's just starting to get their flowers, Manga St. Hilaire. This was such a fun conversation. We'd never met, but Manga's new album, Everything Is Under Control, is blowing up and getting a rightful amount of hype. But it was Make Out Alive in 2020 that really, it's one of my favourite grime albums. Obviously, like Manga was in Roll Deep, so we're like with Wiley and Dizzy and all of these. So guy's been around a minute and has really started to find exactly who they are and what they're saying and what they do and what their role is in the scene. And it's beautiful. I love that they've got that long-term respect and a lot of new fans building and building. So yeah, we sat down to talk about it all, and it was a great conversation. It goes all over the place, but both of us get overexcited a lot. I swear we're shouting for most of it. I swear the bulk of it is the two of us shouting at each other in excitement, so strap in for that. As ever, I mean, we talk about independent artists a lot in this. As ever, if you want to support this podcast, support me, head over to speechdevelopmentrecords.com. Support all the artists on the label. You can buy merch, you can buy records, you can buy all sorts of good stuff. So head over there. Patreon.com/ScroobiusPip is how you can support the podcast. Help me pay Buddy Peace. One of last week's guests, John Harris, or the week before last, I failed to mention on the episode of the TV shows here that John Harris does all the socials for Distraction Pieces. So yeah, all the love there. And head over to twitch.tv/ScroobiusPipio to see what I'm getting up to over there. I'm doing weirder and weirder stuff over there, so you really need to come and get involved, I promise. Right, let's get on with the episode. This is episode 559 of the Distraction Pieces podcast with Manga St. Hilaire. And then we're rolling.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I'm here with Manga St. Hilaire. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm all right.
What's going on? What's new? Like, how are you feeling now? Because you've like the new album has like as we record this, the new album has just come out, and that's a weird thing when you've kind of spent years on something,
yeah,
and now you're at that point where it's there, but you've not really felt the impact of it yet. Maybe
no, I haven't.
How are you
feeling? Not yet. I feel okay. I feel, you know, I'm on tour at the same time, so the tour started on the day the project came out.
Yeah,
so it was in Plymouth.
Yeah,
and that's I was just organizing a lot. So really, I ain't really had no fun with the album yet.
Yeah.
I've got great feedback though. People have been messaging me already and being like, oh yeah, we like this song. I'm like, oh. So I'm still like cutting up promo clips for the tour, for the project. I'm still sorting stuff. So I haven't had a chance to enjoy it being out yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, I haven't even thought about it. Yeah, I've just been doing stuff. So I haven't even thought about it, if I'm being honest. Literally, as I was sitting down in the car, I had to just quickly post something that I cut up last night. Like, I've done, like, clips of every tune.
Yeah.
But, I'm just doing that. I need to post that before I go up here. And then I've got this sort of like London show, guest list, all this type of stupidness. But, yeah, and set list and who's going to... Yeah. Long story short, no, I don't feel good yet.
Yeah.
I felt good with the feedback I have got, though. People that have heard it have really liked it. Really,
it's when you start playing it to people who've heard it, that's exciting. I mean, a new song randomly at a show, you can't really get a vibe of. But when people have heard the record and then they come into the show and you're getting that feeling, right?
I feel like when I get to the show, London show on Thursday, I think people will know them.
Yeah.
Which definitely. I think's weird. I always feel that's weird. That's quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Usually, like, my music never traveled like that. But I'm quite lucky with my supporters that roll out there that they kind of, they'll listen.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't get many of the, I call them like the others. And you get people who just like a genre. They might like UK rap. They might like the punk scene. They might like whatever. And they just like the scene. And then someone's popular in the scene. So you just go to that because you might see someone else or just whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like people who come to my shows generally like me, just like me. Yeah. Like, I call it our universe. I say they might like me or Murkish Dave or Wise or whoever, Bloody Vision. Someone like in our, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas some people like grime. So they'll just go to wherever. They'll just go to a
grime show.
Grime MCFM. Or they'll go to a grime originals or something where they're just going to see as many as MCs as they can. You don't particularly care about who's there. They just want to see, feel grime.
Yeah.
With my shows, they come to see me, which is weird because, well, like I said, when I do my new songs, they know them and it always throws me off. I'm like, oh yeah, shit. They know them better than me because some of them, I don't even know them. You know what I'm saying?
Mate, I've definitely had that. On my first ever tour back in the day, I got loads of like good reviews because of how theatrical it was. Like mm-hmm. I'd be reading one, I had like a Bible for one of the things. I'd be reading it from that. All this, it's all bullshit. It was all just because we'd blown up too quick and I hadn't learnt it all. So I was finding different ways to have the lyrics in front of me.
That's
but it was seen as all this theatrical. It's like he's got a Bible and he's just doing this particular one. He's like, mate, it's because I suddenly had this audience and I hadn't had it happen too quick.
Bro, I've done that at my Plymouth show literally on Thursday. Yeah. So it's not so much the lyrics, but I didn't know the set list. Like, yeah. We just sort it out. I had like an hour to do it. And then I'll try to put some of the new songs in there in different order and all that jazz. So I was pretending to like text people like, yeah, I got this thing on my t-shirts to say, is everything under control? Text this or no to whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, let me just check the phone line and see what's going on, just seeing what song's coming up next and all that jazz. You always got to do the tricks, man, to get through it, man. But that's how it goes.
You got to cover it up. And then it's that stuff that gets known. And then you're doing that. Like, I was holding that Bible for my whole 10 years of touring. I knew the song by then,
I swear.
But it's got known now.
When I done a Plymouth show, so I got a song with DWE called Together, yeah?
Yeah.
For some reason, I just blank on the chorus. Like, well, the second half of the chorus. I don't know why. I cannot remember it for the life of me. I do the first bit. I know the first bit. Second half. Not even a clue. The only thing I know is the words together. I know the verse and everything. I've been getting it wrong. So when I done it wrong at Plymouth the other day, I said, bro, I can't, listen, it wasn't that many people. It was like, 50, let's say 50 people.
Yeah.
It was a smaller show. So I said, bro, look, I don't know it. I ain't going to lie to you, lot. I don't know it. Every time I get to it, I have to pretend and mumble. I don't know it. And I said, I'm just going to make up the words and you don't know where to say together and we'll do it like that. So I went, blue shirt, podcast, together, finger, whatever. Together and I just got through it and they thought it was sick. But like it was so sick because obviously they got involved, didn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes it mean more.
You gotta do it every show.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do it every show. If you see, if you come to the show and you hear me going, duh, 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 beard, podcast, together, you'll be like, you know,
that's why. I always remember one time doing like an album preview show and then we chucked in a few of our other songs in the mix. And because I'd been so focused on learning this new album, I was like, fuck, I don't know our old songs. And there was this guy in the front row, Keith, who came to loads of our shows. And I got to this point, I'm about to start, and I was like, Keith, how's this start? And he said the first line. And once you get the first line, you flow, you're going off. It's like,
regular.
It's like, mate, Keith, go.
Regular.
Heads in a mess.
I got a guy called Matt. Yeah. I got a guy called Ryan. They got the Jess crew. And they're like, everything I ever do, no matter what I do, it could be, if I said roll up to the podcast, they'll make their way here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm very lucky to have them. But they've helped me loads of times. My daughter's 10 months now, yeah?
Yeah.
And when I had done my first show, I had a collab with Adidas. I designed some merch and done like a performance.
Yeah. So,
that was like a couple days after. It could have been months, I can't remember. But let's say it was a week off. It was the first time I left the house without her. I couldn't remember anything.
Yeah.
I remember walking down Bond Street and I couldn't, like, it was all like a film, like blurry. It was like a month after, she was a month old, but it's the first time I left and rolled out. I had to go perform and just be like myself. I couldn't remember anything. And then people were like, yeah, well, and I forgot I'd even designed the shirt. I designed it obviously before she was here. And I forgot how big of a scale the event was. It was like we took over the whole Adidas store.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, shit, I forgot people are rolling to this. So when I'm going around the corner, I see it's all like, I see my design and the t-shirts on the rails and there's a DJ thing. I'm like, oh my God, this is a big, I need to fix that. And I just couldn't get it together. I just told him, but I don't know what I'm doing today, and it just, I'm going to do it safe, whatever. And then I knew none of the words. They were just doing it for me. I said, thank you. I promise I'll get you back. And the next thing, I'll sort you out. I know, it was basically everyone there was, that was the first time of someone seeing me, they think I'm so rubbish.
Yeah.
It's all right, it happens.
I mean, this conversation is going to go all over the place.
It's all good, man.
But how's parenthood treating you, man?
Love it, man.
How's that change with again, because it's weird, being an artist is an inconsistent job or industry, to say the least. How's it changed everything there? Your perspective, your outlook, your approach?
I'll be real, not much yet. Not yet. I think it's more, I guess if I start thinking about the future more, I'll get scared and start being like, you know what I'm saying? But just, like I said, she's 10 months, literally just turned 10 months. And again, I don't have a normal job, so I've got to spend lots of time with her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with her every day, basically. And so like I said, I'm going on tour now.
Yeah.
And I went to Saudi a couple, ages ago as well. When she was younger, that was for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the longest before.
Yeah.
Nothing's really changed apart from I got to get up every day. Yeah. And I think the difference is I've got to remember, but I can't record how I used to record. I can't sit down and write. I can't even just do my content. I'm going to just do whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's no first of all, there's no time and where and when. But again, luckily, everything's under control was finished already. And my project before was already finished. So apart from popping out to do a few videos, I haven't had to go through the process of creating while she's been here.
Mm.
I don't know how that's going to work yet. I live in a one-bedroom flat. I've even got like somewhere I can just go, you know what I mean, and do it, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, that's the main thing that has changed how I can create.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like I'm slacking. Like, even with the tour, I would have had all my little adverts done and I would have had the set list. I would have had everything sorted, but I've just been, even like this morning, you know, I wake up, got up with her, you know, get a change, feed her breakfast too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or actually, before I was doing the nights, so then I couldn't go and record when I usually record. Like, either way, it's not bad, but her mom obviously is sick. Like, she's sick. She's so good.
Yeah.
She's so good. It's amazing.
It's a different rhythm, right? You got to different change the rhythm of it all.
That is a very great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Different rhythm. It's true.
Yeah.
Because everything is, again, obviously, everything's longer to leave the house, to get out of the house. Everything's that. I've been late to a lot of stuff and I hate being late. But I can't go around it. Like, what can I do?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Different rhythm is the best way to put it, you know? Yeah. Everything's just different, but I've always had, you know, I got nieces and nephews and 160 godchildren.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like a stranger to children.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is very different because she's mine. And seeing her when she was born, obviously, literally from the moment she's born to now, you forget, like, so I'm picking up things. Like, she's starting to try and walk now.
Yeah.
And like, I see it's 10 months, she's got teeth.
Yeah.
She laughs, she finds things funny, she's got programs she likes, music.
Man.
You can hold up your head. And that was the other day, like, she's nearly one.
Yeah.
Which I think is mad. Because, like, myself, my brother, my other cousin, our two cousins all had kids. All had kids in the same year. And, like, my brother lives down the road. I've got nieces and nephews, like, one's eight, actually. If she heard me, she'll fight me. One's eight and one is four.
Yeah.
But now they got, it's a whole, there's four of them, four or five. Let's say five. Five kids, all of us in our family and circle, all got, literally the same age. My brother's is 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I'm away from my daughter and my other nieces. She's just turned one, so she's about 3 months, 4 months. Yeah, it's all got them in the same year. So it's mad to see everyone just like, wow, your baby's doing this, our baby's doing that.
That's going to be beautiful because they're going to be tight as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
they're
that's the plan. Because again, like, I had that. Yeah. I got two siblings, one brother, one sister. We're all 2 years apart. I've got enough cousins that are my age and then a bit younger. Like, we all grew up, like, together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the best thing, man. Like I said, I can't afford to have any more kids unless this project just goes crazy. But I like the fact that it'll be a together thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and let's talk about this project then. Everything is under control.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm always fascinated by the kind of the motivations and the themes where people have been in the industry for a while, have been doing this for a minute. So what is this album for you?
It's about paranoia and protection. So everything's under control is like, oh God, you know, the conspiracy theories and, oh man, we're being tied down, everything's under control, pay attention, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Triangles. Did you ever go through the triangle phase?
No, what's the triangles? Teach me about the triangles.
When everyone discovered the Illuminati on YouTube. Right.
Look at the
checkered floors. Like, that was an exhausting time. And then you just get to the end where it just goes, well, if that's happening, then what? Let's say it's happening. Let's say it probably is. What are you going to do? Unless you go live in a field, like, you can't do nothing. Yeah. That's what it started. Yeah. Anyway, that was the point. Or everything's under control. Don't worry about it. Like, things are going to be where they'll be. You have to kind of let go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like the balance in between both of those things.
Yeah.
Because that's
how
I kind of... To be fair, I'm more on that side. Everything's under control. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
At this point in my life, I'm just like, bruv, it's going to be... I don't really stress it. I stressed probably my daughter's birth. I was very there's so much that can go wrong, you know what I mean? And obviously that happens to a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? You don't really realize. So I was quite like, even there's a song on there called Don't Worry, and I wrote it, I didn't play it, I wasn't sure if I was gonna put it out in case what if something happened to her, you know what I'm saying?
I
didn't know it was gonna be her. Something happened to them, and I done it and I thought, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know, superstitious, because you just want it to go right. Especially when we was going to more and more like appointments and things like that. Oh, this could happen. I'm like, oh, it's mad. Obviously, she's fine. Like, she's great. But I mean, everything's under control. Like, yeah, it's just that. And in terms of like creating, I just feel like I just got more to say. Like, just I'm saying, more I get to live a more life and different things happen. I just got different things to say. Yeah. You know what I mean, I don't think I've reached my thing where I've run out of things to say yet. Yeah. I think that happens when you get rich.
Yeah.
Or you get successful, actually. I won't just say rich. When you get something that works, I think that really, obviously, my stuff has worked to a point. Like, it's always, I feel like I've always improved. You know what I mean? But when you get like a big song or a big, like a revered album or something like that, like, you know, across all boards,
yeah,
then obviously now that's when I feel like you start chasing what you've done.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of good, which is not for my bank account, but what's good for everything else is that I haven't felt that thing yet.
That's interesting that you've not felt that, because it feels to me like, as a listener, it feels like you're finally starting to get the credit that you deserve and the props. Weird. Like with you know, the MOBO nominations after MOBO nominations, it was Make It Out Alive in 2020 was the album that really, that I connected with massively. I thought your openness on it, like you had bangers on there like Dumb, but just kicking off with things like Escape Plan, it felt like an openness and an honesty and a rawness that I hadn't really heard in a lot of grime before.
Yeah, I think I got it right that time.
Yeah,
as in, like, there's songs on the project that kind of like started it for me is a project called Outburst for the Outskirts.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like where I got my ideas out, if that makes sense. So I worked with Louis B. That's who I worked with before. But I said, well, we can do something, like, let's. Basically, I always had these ideas in my head for songs, but I didn't have enough money or maybe confidence as well to I got a song called Slew, and I love that lyric from Jamaica B, and I thought I can't ask him to do a hook of an old lyric. Like, you know what I mean, I'm not of that. Wants to do, as an MC, you want to do your new works and do whatever. But I was like, can you do the hook, please? And it turned out to be Slew, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a song called Different Pattern on there, which again, I never do this. I usually record and just leave it. We rearranged it. Me and Louis changed the drop. I tried to make it to a song rather than me have some cool bars on a cool beat and just leave it. Because I was doing performances then with a punk band called Asteroid Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was supporting them for years. Yeah. Obviously, that's not my scene. And so I'm going to get round to the question. But the first time I toured with them, I didn't have no songs. I just had like freestyles and SoundCloud. Because I was doing, obviously, Roll Deep, but I can't, that's not my whole song.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to be on a part of a song.
Yeah.
So when I was doing my first songs, and I went there to perform, again, to a crowd that's not my crowd, mm-hmm. that don't know me at all. They don't care about no Roll Deep. They don't care about nothing. They don't even like Graham. And I was just doing like three-minute freestyles at 140 BPM, filled with all metaphors and rare. I was just getting stared at. I said, this does not feel good. And I realized what I got.
Yeah.
And then, when I was watching them perform, obviously it's their crowd, but they was always, it was not music, because my thing is music. It was music. Yeah. And song, like, the structure, like, oh, here's, because they perform live, they understand what works in the human ear, what works for the anticipation here, all these type of things. So when I went into the vision of doing Outbursts on the Outskirts, I thought about all these things.
Yeah.
What songs are going to be played live? What songs is going to be listening to? What songs is just a gas grime song? So that started to the project. I mean, the songs on there called Outbursts 01 to 04,
mm-hmm.
where I always had this idea to have the same beat and different people spitting on it throughout interludes. Yeah. But I wanted to do that in a Roadie album, but I didn't have enough, I don't know, people weren't listening to me them time. I get it, because I was probably wouldn't even say it confident enough, to be fair. Obviously, because I thought, obviously, if you had a Roadie album and everyone just said like a verse about something on just throughout the album.
Putting his interludes.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne did that in the Carter 4, and it's like, exactly. Those bits are my best. Again, I love the rest of the track, but those tracks, interlude, intro, outro, and all that.
I think Jay-Z done it on Life of Times or something like that. And I definitely didn't invent it, but I always wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we've done that. Anyway, what I'm saying is that was an emotional track. That was like a big, I just said everything, like what was going on at my life at the time. And people loved it. Raw, but it wasn't that good though. That makes sense. Like, it was the musicality. No, the bars are good.
The beat
was okay. No disrespect to Louis, but I didn't hit the mark. You know what I'm saying? But I knew, okay, I can be like this. What it signaled to me is I can be like this and people can relate to it. Obviously, Slew and Different Pattern and what else was on there? That done well with like streaming and Out Loud and all that stuff. But I got the most messages about this song.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so when I got to Make It Out Alive, and Louis remade that actually as well, so it was big him up. Like, well, I feel like I'm getting better. That sounds like I don't know if I'm being bragging, but I'm just understanding what to take away as well. I need to get better at that as well. Like, what not to say is more important than what you're saying. So when I got to Escape Plan, like, obviously it's the same similar feelings, but, you know, reflection, growth, all these type of things, but I got to say it well. And again, because Louis is especially at that point, Louis is my brother, you know what I'm saying? So I can say to him, can we change this part of the beat? Let's make the drop like this. And because it was a completely different beat before.
Yeah.
So I said, no, can we make it more soft? And it would just go up. Because I understood, before I wouldn't be secure enough to just make first of all, to make the changes. Second of all, I just want the beat to start. I don't want people to be waiting about. But I feel like I built enough cachet over the by Make It Out Loud. I was like three projects deep, maybe four, that people would listen to it. If that makes sense. Like, before you be shook, like, oh, I want to just make it start. Sure, I'm good at lyrics. I don't really care about saying I'm good at lyrics. I'm good at lyrics, innit? Saying, but now I want to be good at songs, and I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. And I'm really getting better at making projects. That's my comfort zone. So this year, I'm jumping about. This year, or this upcoming year, I want to learn how to just make a, like, here is my song. Here's everything I put into this song.
Right,
safe.
Yeah,
Whereas with a project, you've got so much room. You can develop and build along.
We're talking, we can have
this conversation. There's no time limit, is there?
No.
Exactly. There's no time limit. So I can go off a tangent, come back and rare. Whereas even now, I do radio on a Saturday. It's, it's bits in between.
Yeah.
That's
your gap.
Yes, and it's key. And I realize singles are like that. And I find singles very difficult because I want to say the whole story. So when I got to Escape Plan, basically, I just had enough room. I think I had built up enough skill set. I trusted myself enough. And again, the reception to that was mad.
Yeah.
Mad. Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit then about touring with a punk band, essentially? Yes. Because Astro, I think it's really interesting, Astro Boy, because I remember when grime started to really blow up, I'd often go and catch full gigs, and they wouldn't be that, like, a lot of them wouldn't be that great. You had people like your Getz who could just blow a stage up regardless.
Most
of
them are shit.
Because I'm being polite here.
Because
people could kill, like, their one track or whatever, but couldn't do a full set. Whereas you go and, like, I remember I was doing festivals, and again, like, my stuff was rap, spoken word, but, you know, influenced by a lot of different things. And I remember we were doing the festival circuit with Bizzle and Dizzy, who'd both kind of added live bands and kind of that element.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. But it allowed it to be this kind of more a full set rather than, as you say, look at how good I am at rapping.
When Dizzy made Boy in the Corner.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't there, but I mean, when I heard it, I thought, well, you made an album. Why have you made an album?
You know
all your lyrics. Yeah. But now I get it, like, because it cements it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it starts you. So even like, down to live show thing, we weren't touring. We were doing raves.
Yeah.
So our point of our height of our rave is going to the rave and getting reloads.
Yeah.
So having a live show, and like, here's my set list and here's my transitions and here. No, we never come from that at all.
Yeah.
That's why when you come to a grime rave or you come to a grime dance, whatever, you'll see it'll be 50 MCs on stage, everyone trying to outdo each other. And that is a beautiful thing to witness. Beautiful, like I said. I don't think there's anything better in life than a grime thing because anything can happen.
Yeah.
Like, when that beat drops there and then that person said that after that person, I always say this quote, you can have the same lineup, you can have the same six MCs and two DJs for every week on a Saturday and the sets will be completely different every single time.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
But when you're going to do festivals, when you're going to do your tour, you can't really do that. You know what I'm
saying? You need that reliability. You need that consistency.
And it don't look good.
Yeah.
As I say, like, it just looks weird and you run out of gas and this thing, you know what I mean? So touring with them, when I was touring with Asteroid Boys, they just had it. Remember, where they're a punk band, punk is live music, I feel like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like, even when I used to listen back, so there'll be songs I loved actually, like when they're performing. Then obviously when I'm going home, I listen to it like,
I don't want to listen.
It don't slap like that.
Don't slap
like that. Me driving to it does not slap.
It's about the energy in the room, the energy on and off the stage.
But that's exactly where punk and grime meets.
Yeah.
It's energy. Because again, I do agree to a lot of people, grime fans, especially older grime fans, say like when they listen to it, it's not the same. You have to be there.
Yeah.
So that's why I also think grime don't do well. Well, it does do well, but okay on streaming, and it doesn't do well on YouTube.
It's why Rinse and like radio shows work because they had that same live energy, and then you get the clips or whatever.
Exactly,
of that
and that's even all today.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying that. Yeah. But when you listen to it separately, like, that's why the full music videos and grime don't do well because it's not like rap where look what he's doing Meek's man is in a helicopter and this one's got 17 chains they're talking about their ops and it's exciting to visually see.
Yeah,
but when you see the rappers perform, they're not very good either.
Yeah.
But it's at least it's like, that's why the YouTube numbers do crazy numbers because look what he's got. Oh, he's got them Louis shoes on. Oh, he's done that. Like, we don't have none of that really.
Yeah.
But when you go to Grime MCFM and you see Jamie perform Man Don't Care or do P Money Just Wear and Went or whatever, or we're just spitting on a set.
Yeah.
You can't chat to us. And people leave there like it's crazy. I'm there going crazy. That's saying because we don't know what's going to happen. And I don't think people understand that, like the difference that even us on stage, we don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing.
I mean, we need to talk about you being there going crazy because those Manga Reacts videos on Instagram blew my mind. There's for context, there's someone's put together a whole load of clips of you reacting to different MCs and you're losing your shit. And my PR thing, I was saying before, you've got to speak to Tom Dark out there and get him to make those reactions into little GIFs. Get them on Giphy because those GIFs will blow up because your reactions are amazing.
There's been a few over the years. You know, okay, see the reaction. You know, people have been asking for that particular post or a post of Manga Reactions for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what I try to explain to you. Especially when you're on a radio set, yeah? Sometimes you don't know you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I guess where I'm more secure in myself and my lyrics or whatever, before it was all competition, like when I was younger, like everything is competition.
Yeah.
Crazy competition. So you don't even want to show man too many man different props. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you want to murk. And now I know I'm good. And I'm saying, usually I'm spitting with like younger artists, or even I'm spitting with people that, you know, like Flo Dan and whatever. And I'm like, obviously they're older than me, but them, I love them, innit? You know what I'm saying? I was a Flo Deep fan before I was even in Flo Deep. So I don't have no thing about reacting to it as in, wow, that was sick. Before I would be like, oh, I don't want to, you know what I mean? But brother, I'm cool. And it's sick. That's something, I don't know what they're going to say. So when
you
say,
do you think that comes with age though? Because reaction video is like when we've had like Dizzy and everyone in, and when Incredibles being done, General Levy's doing incredible things, like people are, it's the reaction that makes it. It's that hype, excitement. Whereas back in the day, there would have been a bit more, well, no, I've got to go and I'm up next.
Exactly.
So does it come with age, comfort to
and
go?
Security. I don't know if it's even age. Because just it's more like I'm securing my thing. I'm built on my I know I'm good at what I do too. But sometimes, especially when you're doing the amount of sets that I do, you're not going to be man of the match all the time, you know? I love this thing, you know? I love this thing. So when someone spits a sick bar, I'm not going to be like, it's a sick bar, bro. Like, I want to. It's a sick.
Yeah.
And one of the famous ones is the set I done with Socks, because I never met Socks before. And we was in Belgium. There's a station called, is that even Panic Radio? The DJ is called Ice on Selector. He hollered me and said, "Do you want to come to Belgium and do a set? I'll pay for whatever." Then I said, "Yeah, whatever." So I rolled to Belgium, and it was me and him. And then when we got there, I thought I was doing a set with me and him. So when I got there, we just walked up the stairs. He walked up the stairs and Socks is, I've never met Socks. Obviously, I know who Socks is.
Yeah.
But I've never met him before. And he was in a room, like literally like a room just like this. He goes, walk on. Yeah, what you doing? And then we took it for like 3 minutes, maybe. Like, let's say 10 minutes. And then he went in the room. So, are you doing a set as well? He goes, yeah. You're doing it together. So I was sick. So when he's spitting, I've never met him, and I have listened to him Socks before, but I've never been in a room. It's different when you're being.
Yeah.
So all the stuff he will say, and he's very, 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 very good. And he's very left field. He'll just say, he'll start speaking in Russian and Somali, and he goes great. Remember, this is a white, people don't know, so he's a white guy from Birmingham.
Right.
And he starts speaking in Russian. He's sick. He's so left.
Yeah.
And I love that. So he was spitting, and I'm like, bro, are you about to hit? And it was just me. So it was like me and him in a room. And it was like a Perspex glass, and the DJ was quite far from us. So I didn't have no connection with anyone else apart from him. And there was like cap GoPros pointed. So, and I'm thinking, are you look? And they weren't, like, obviously, Gram is usually based off energy reloads, is like the key to hear what I'm going.
Yeah.
And they weren't really wheeling him up like that. And I think, can you hear what he's saying? Or is there a language barrier? Do you know what I mean?
How are you not reacting?
That's what it was. Yeah. Like, if it was at Rinse, which me and Socks just did another Rinse, me, Socks, Jaffro, there's loads of us there. And people going mad because we're all in the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, get it. Like, that was when he was starting to spit, I was getting mad. And it was, really, like, so it was more, not more fun, but it was a different vibe. And I thought, is this a language barrier? You don't understand. He's not, he just switched four different languages and he's spitting backwards and he's pretending he's a dog at one point. He's doing everything. And so that was sick. That was like, rah, like, this is mad. And I was so impressed again. I'm impressed. But at the same time, I go, oh, yeah, I got to do my lyric in a minute. I got to think of what I'm going to say next. It was a very complex, there's a lot of complex feelings when that happens. But the reaction thing is that I just enjoy it. Like I think people don't enjoy it. Or they're just focusing what they got to do next.
Yeah.
Whereas I came up on an era where radio was practice. So I don't really take it that serious. But
we
spoke about this before, a little off mic, is that where everything's been filmed now, no one wants to mess up.
Yeah, and everyone
wants to be everything perfect. And radio was literally an opposite of that. It's like,
particularly early days of Rinse and that, where it was literally pirate. You don't know if anyone's listening at all. You don't know what numbers are. It's not
exactly
cut and distributed as it became.
And that's exactly kind of a, it's sick because obviously it goes out there, but that's also a problem because, like I said, when it was just rinse or wet, like rinse, freeze, any station, them time there, you, like, you didn't even know if anyone's even listening.
Mm.
No one was listening sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it had been cut off.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you'd be putting it in for the whole set, and I'll go home and ask my little brother, like, do you record that? Like on the tape, it was like, what? It never reached here, or it didn't. What I'm saying, it could just be cut off for the day, but you're trying to impress the people in the room, or you're just testing out something new, or you know what I mean? You got a new lyric and test it out. It's all that. But it's radio now, it's all films. I get it, because you know, but that makes people not want to try things. Yeah. So I thought that the whole idea of reacting to it, it's like I'm hearing something new I've never heard before. It's sick. And I feel secure enough to do it. But it's funny. When I go through that, I'm thinking, oh, bro, you're doing jokes.
There's some amazing ones. But it's interesting now, because as you say, it is all. It is, if it's being filmed, it is all serious and getting it out there. And it is to go on social media as well. So kind of, how have you found that evolution? Because you've been doing this long enough that social media has changed everything. Like, how are you finding that?
Well, we had MySpace. That was the earliest thing ages ago. But no, it's, I love it, bro. I'll be honest with you, bro. It just gets you connected to different people. I get upset in some of it. Gram was sick because if you knew about it, it was culture more than a tempo. And so if you knew about it, was it mainstream? If I heard someone say Dizzy Rascal or Wiley or God's Gift or Flow, then I know you had to go and search that and find that. So we can have conversations and we can talk about, oh, listen, I know this, you love this thing. Whereas the internet has made it, you could dip in and out, give your opinion directly to the artist sometimes, and just, you don't even know anything.
Yeah.
Or you don't love it, and you're just saying stuff like, oh, Grime's dead. Oh, this is better. Actually, there was another clip that the boy, Metal Messiah is his name on Instagram. And he put up another clip of me and Screwface are going back to back. And someone said, yeah, man, I missed this vibe. We should bring this back. I said, this set was last year. You know what I mean? Like, but they're so used to just saying, oh, Graham's the old thing. Oh, we should. That means like a nostalgic genre, and I hate the fact that thing. And you can just say that on the internet. And if I messaged back, I said, this dude, it was last year. He said, oh yeah. But I think if I just left that, which obviously I can't get to every comment in the world, then he just puts out this narrative. That's why I don't like people who don't actively listen to the genre.
Could
just say anything. That's the one bad thing about internet. You know what I'm saying? Even me, I got nominated for Mobile again this year. And then I think I tweeted, oh yeah, thanks everyone for voting or whatever, something like that. And someone said, oh, why do you think you deserve Mobile? You ain't done anything in years. I thought, I'll definitely have. But I thought, but you get to say that to me live.
Yeah, and you don't know,
You don't even know what's going on. Like, you've got no idea. Do you know what I mean?
It's a weird, I find it a weird balance though, because I get a lot of that stuff as well, so I stopped rapping and moved into acting and podcasting about 8 years ago. And I have this weird conflict of people hit me up saying, oh, are you still around or whatever, or things like that. And I'll be like, part of me is offended because it's my ego. And I'm like, well, I'm working fucking hard. I'm doing really good shit. You just happen to not know it. But then there's the other part of me going, well why should they?
Like,
they've got no responsibility to know. It's finding that balance of be polite to me.
You see that part
when you're going to interact, be polite to me.
See that part there? That old thing, they don't have to know. I get that. Yeah. 1,000,000%. Because true, I don't ever think like, when I'm people, oh, what are you still doing? But I'm trying to say, for you to come on
Come up to me and say that.
Let's say you come to my page and you've typed something, you could just check my page, bro. Like, everything's there.
Yeah, you can scroll back 2 pages and see what's happened.
When I'm on the train now, someone says, oh, you still do music, rare. Yeah, I don't take no offense. I kind of did maybe when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I don't care about it. Yeah, I do. I tour them, whatever. Or, what I've just done. So, because again, in your normal life, bro, I can't. You forget people's lives aren't this. You know what I mean? They're not checking for you every day.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the algorithm, but it doesn't even show you if you are following someone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, even one of my, I'm going all over the place. I work at One Extra now. I've got a radio show,
yeah.
And as a presenter called Nadia J, she just added me saying, oh man, I wanted to go to a Grime rave and rare. I said, I'm on tour on Thursday. And what I'm trying to say is that where's our Grime rave? And what I'm saying, we work together on the same show and we follow each other, and she still hasn't seen that. I don't take offense to that. I'm just saying that that's how it is, because that's how life is. There's so much coming at us all the time. But I forgot what the original point was. What did you call it?
I don't know. We're going all over the place. It's fine.
That's good, basically.
well, I mean, speaking of respecting and loving the genre, you did a post recently where you introduced yourself as the fourth best grime artist in the world. Initially, I was like, oh, I wonder who you're saying the top three. Now, more than anything, I want to know who's fifth. That's the one that's really got me. It's the one that you're one ahead of. Who's in your top three?
Oh, God.
So you've said it now. It's on record.
You forget that it's true, you know. Like, you know, my favorite grandma of all time is always going to be Wiley.
Yeah.
Because he, I feel like he embodies the genre the most. Obviously, he helped create it to the highest point.
Yeah.
And he's done everything. He's had the pop songs. He's had the war dubs. He's done live. He's done create crews. He's done it all, bro. He's done it all. And he is that. Do you know what I mean? Skepta has to, again, Subsect has to be some, maybe Skepta.
Yeah.
Because it has, again, same exact same reason. Yeah, so it's literally the same reason. Done everything. He's produced. That's the David Wiley. They're producers. They're MCs. Yeah. They've done events. They've done pop songs. They've done clashes. I feel like you have to, it's like hip hop, you know, like they're all the different pillars.
That's what grime is.
You have to be able to do elements.
Yeah.
We got radio sets. We've got live sets. We've got clashes. We've got projects and instrumentation. Yeah. Like I'm saying, producers. And I'm saying, that's what I think. That's the thing as well. Like you can't, because producers are a big part of grime. Like and producers and DJs obviously are very. Not, it's not just like artist led, MC led. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a big part of it as well. So again, where both of them can produce.
Yeah.
And make things. And obviously, who else is there? Again, Jamie for the same reason.
Yeah.
You got. See, that's why I see people. See the people like P Money gets myself. You got Capo Lee. Novelist, I love Novelist.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and again, Novelist up there because he does all the things there. I feel like that sounds like even I'm saying on the fourth. I think I'm a bit further down. But like,
hold your ground.
Yeah, it's because
hold your ground at fourth.
You need to have all of it.
Yeah.
So and all Novelist can produce.
Yeah, the MCs.
And I feel that's the same reason why Jamie's sick.
Yeah.
All these people there, like, I feel like you can do it all, and I'm still doing it today. I feel like otherwise dizzy. That's why it kind of like limits you. See, like myself or Lethal B or. Capital don't produce. Like I'm saying, people are really enjoying it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a bit where you can't find your sound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel that's why Skepta's a guy.
Points wise on the cards. He's not got all of them.
He's on top trumps.
Yeah.
Like Stormzy, you know, obviously very successful, sick, but then you don't make your own beats.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe sets. Obviously, he came around after sets were more of a thing.
Well, that was the thing with the recent A Boy in the Corner anniversary was people realizing that Dizzy was producing this shit. And everyone's like, what? So many people. Again, because that became a pop hit. It's like, you know the track and you don't know.
Oh.
And then when he's going through just doing an Instagram video of his album made I Love You, and people are like,
obviously, I'm a grime nerd. I didn't realize he didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel like the only ones he didn't do was Just the Rascal and... I think that might have just been it.
I think
if there is one, there's two. If that,
yeah,
the two maximum where he didn't do them, which is crazy.
Yeah. Mad, isn't it, on that whole record.
Kano's another person. I think he has made beats because he made Boys Love Girls. I think.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to say that people like that. Obviously, you can, like I say, even myself, I don't produce well. I do a little bit, but not that properly.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'll sit down with Louis, or I'll sit down with Mourna and be like, can it be like this? Like, that's different, but. Wiley can go to the studio by himself and come out of a product. Skepta can go to come out of a whole product. Same with Jamie. I think that's sick.
Yeah.
I think, again, that's one of the elements. And again, they can go to jump on a set and do that now, today. Like, they say, oh, there's a grime set today. Meet me at Rinse at 3. They'll do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's our elements of our thing.
Is there anyone that you think, because I said, I really feel now that there's a lot of people who've deserved their respect for a long time and are getting it more now. I think you're one. I think Getz is one
who, for a long time,
everyone in the scene knew Getz, no one outside of the scene knew Getz. Is there anyone that you think is next in line, like deserves to be, like hasn't quite got the respect that they deserve yet?
Well, Flo Dan just won a Grammy.
Yeah,
Flo Dan.
Yeah.
Jams.
Yeah.
Jams. P Money. But I feel like P Money's, you know what I'm saying? But I get what I'm saying, like, go to the next place.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Again, everyone...
It's always the next place to go,
yourself and Getz, everyone, we're killing it this whole time. Yeah. It's not that you've only just got good, but it's like we're only just starting to get that next
P-Money,
level of...
Jams, Novelist.
Yeah, Novelist Snowy, for sure.
Snowy. I have to check, but there's a lot of people I feel like it will come in time.
Like I said,
Flo Dan just won a Grammy, which is insane.
Yeah.
But like, people just getting to know Flo Dan now, which I think, that's weird. That's the weirdest one, but like, oh my days. When Rumble came out and I was on my TikTok, and I just saw that, basically it felt like the whole world was using it for their song. Like, I can't wait to hear this song. That's Flo Dan, the song. That's Flo Dan, you know. And obviously it started getting bigger, obviously, like I said, it got Grammy. But I thought, bro, this is mad weird. Because like, this obviously Flo Dan's been around as long as everyone else. Longer than everyone else.
Yeah.
He came up with the name Roll Deep. He came on the name of the crew.
Really? I didn't know that at all.
A lot of the words we use in the thing is from Flodan. Slang. He's like, even though Wiley made Roll Deep, that Flodan was obviously right there. And he's been around since Page to Go days. Yeah. And he's been there. Like, he's integral. If you ask anyone, if you ask Skept, ask anyone. Obviously, we all know Flodan, but I mean, like, he's a guy. So it's sick to see him get his...
Yeah.
Yes, I can't
that's
explain
the perfect
it.
Answer. That's the perfect one there.
Yeah.
Or tell me a little bit, or talk a little bit on them Roll Deep days, because that really, that was what blew everything up. And yeah. Again, the lineup, you're looking at...
We're the best crew ever.
Flodan, Dizzy, Tinchy, Skepta, Jamie, Jammer, love yourself. It. Just, it's yeah. endless. It's
best
endless
crew
list.
Ever. Honestly, everyone says it's a bit techie because obviously it was different iterations and genres. I mean, yeah. genres, eras. So it's not everyone was in it at the same time. But yeah. if you put everyone that's been in Roll Deep from then till now, we're the best crew by far.
Yeah.
Like the most versatile, most successful. Obviously, people say Nasty Crew is the next one because you've got yeah. Kano, yeah. you've got Getz, you've got Jammer.
Yeah.
But after that, you know what I mean? Nah, we're joking. But no, but anyways, I was always a Roll Deep fan before. That was my favorite crew.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
I love Page to Go crew. Mm-hmm. And I heard Wiley, Flodan, Maxwell D, Plague. Major Ace, RIP, all these people here, yeah. And I always like Page to Go. Obviously, Wiley's my favorite. So, yeah, these men are sick. And then when that was going on, Wiley used to say this word, Roll Deep. He'd be like, look, Roll Deep, never coming up into the scene. I make money when I go here for my team. What the hell is a Roll Deep? I was that much of a, I know everything, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So when he would say, what's a Roll Deep? And he'd say, Roll, they can never test Roll Deep. I said, what's Roll Deep? Then one day, I listened to Choice FM, and there was a DJ called CK Flash. He's not dead or anything, he's about, but he was on the station. And he said, yeah, we've got Wiley in the building. I said, sick. And he got his new crew, Roll Deep. I said, all right, what the hell is that? Oh, so then it clicked. Then I heard Flodan for the first time.
Right.
I said, who is this murderer they lit on the radio? Because his voice was, hey, yo, I am the big Flodan. Otherwise known as Mr. Sandman, put him in a trash can. Anyway, he was going mad. I thought, right, his voice was deep. And he sounded scary. And it was like daytime radio. I said, this is sick. And then Dizzy sat. No one never heard nothing like that before. Then I got to Roll Deep, like, when it was on Rinse, I was Scratchy and Breeze and Jamaica B, and they had Wanda's DJing, it was Carnage DJing. All these things, this is like the Avengers, Target. Bro. Target. Target was in Page to Go.
I heard of Target before.
So, and he was in Roll Deep as well. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, Danny Weed and all these people, like, what? And all these songs, like Creeper and Eskimo and what? This is the Avengers, bro. I like X-Men, innit? I love the X-Men, the mutants. So the collective thing was always a thing because you don't have to like I never like, it's going to sound so stupid. I never liked Cyclops, but I always like Rogue, Storm, and Gambit. Yeah. But anyway, but what I'm trying to say is when you've got a collective of sick people, you can like certain ones more.
You can allow Cyclops for Wolverine and Rogue and the rest.
I'm not even a big Wolverine fan, to be fair. Storm was my favourite. Rogue, I fancy Rogue.
Yeah.
Gambit. Beast. I can't
believe they've never done a Gambit film because Gambit was always easily just the coolest guy.
Don't get me started on that. But yeah, but I still. I'm
we can get into it. I was so excited, like when Channing Tatum was meant to be doing Gambit and meant to be doing all this.
Oh, so
and
you
then,
know.
And then
okay,
showed, I know. Don't worry.
That.
Let's go.
We can
get into it.
All right then. But, yeah, but in terms of Roll Deep, like at the start, yeah. It was just mad. Because again, sorry, what I say is, I was a fan, big fan. Just like a little bit. So that's how, when I met Wiley, I met him in Halston, I saw him on the road. I was like, yo, that's Wiley. You know, again, it sounds stupid, but obviously he's famous, but then people don't know a lot of people look like because radio, obviously it's just radio.
I
remember even hearing rumors about me. One time I was going to Freeze FM on a bus and these two girls are like two seats ahead of me talking about, they got this new roadie guy and his name's Mango and he's from Halston or he's from some, like, no, I'm not from any of the places. It was all mad. I remember people arguing about what Dizzy looked like. I heard he got glasses. I heard he's a hench black guy. Anyway, so I saw Wiley, said what I got on, and he's like, yeah, man. I said to the MC, whatever. And he goes, I hope you I'll take your number and I'll ring you. And I'm saying, I thought, all right, cool. Actually, I didn't think, all right, cool. I'm sick. But now I'm thinking about it. Why did he ring me? I never had no music. He didn't hear me. He didn't, like, not like I was the biggest MC on my ends or anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, one day after a couple, I think it was months, he rang me and asked me, what crew am I in? I said, I'm not in the crew because no one really liked me. And then he said, all right, you're in Roll Deep. Cool. I was like, oh, shit. So then he said, yeah, come to Bermondsey, whatever day it was, and come studio. So obviously I went, whatever day it was. And I went there. Danny, I knocked on the door, Target and Danny Reed. Target opened the door and Danny Reed was there. And he was playing pool. It's something back, I probably remember it. Target was like, yeah? I said, yeah, Wiley told me to come. I was like, right, okay, that sounds like a small part of the story. But now, put it like this. If someone knocked on this door now and said, oh, yeah. Wiley told me to come here, I'll say, yeah, come sit down. If anyone else would done that, they'll say, what do you mean? Wiley's not here, or we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. Because Wiley was like that, you'll just meet someone, yeah, come round and we'll just do something. That's why they let me in. Remember, when I got there, Wiley wasn't there.
And they're like, of course he did. Exactly. Of course Wiley told me to come.
Yeah. Remember, I didn't say who I am. They don't know who I am. Don't like, I've come here to MC, or I'm part of your crew, or anything like that.
Remember,
who am I? Remember, all these men grew up together.
Yeah.
I mean, who am I? So that's now I'm laughing because I think, because someone knocked on my... Literally, someone could knock on my door and say, oh, Wiley told me to come link you for a biggie. All right, come. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what... You know what I mean? Because he would have an idea and be like, oh, yeah, it would be good if you linked up with my... Like, he linked up with a producer called Bless Beats who made Wear My Rolex, And he would be like, this is before that happened. I was living in Luton at the time. Wiley rang me and said, like, you should meet with this producer called Bless Beats. He's a young guy and he makes good beats. Go meet him in Bow. So I drove down for Luton. I met up with Bless Beats. We talked for a bit. I got a CD and came home. What I'm trying to say is that's that, because he's not getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, he's going to get 20% of anything you make. You just think, oh, that would be a good idea. Do that. So when I went to the first ever session and they said, yeah, Wiley sent me here, they just said, yeah, go sit upstairs, or, you know what I mean? Wait for him. He wasn't there at the time. I'd never been to studio before either. So I went in this place. I thought, wow, this is mad. And I sat next to, it was me, Tinsley Strider was there, and then Roachy was there. And I was sitting down there, and they were making the album in the deep end. Obviously, I didn't know that at the time. They just making music. And then Tinsley was like, what'd you do? I said, yeah, I haven't seen. He goes, all right, sick. And then that's it. Obviously, that was kind of our conversation at the time. And then Roachy, who was also new. Again, I didn't know Roachy. Obviously, I knew Tinsley Strider was there. I think Skepta was there. All the rest of everyone was there. But I never knew Roachy. But he was new as well. And then he was like, yeah, we got more talking, me and Roach. But long story short, Dizzy left Roll Deep. And then Wiley said, yeah, we need new people. We're going to re-recruit. And they was making an album.
Yeah.
This is after Wiley made Treading on Thin Ice. And he used all that money he got from that album, where it's advanced, whatever, to make a Roll Deep album. Again, this is all a faith. We never got, so wasn't saying nothing. It's mad. So all these new people. So it's me, Roachy, Brazen, Trim. There was someone else. Well, if it's getting Jamie was part of it then. But it was there. But it was like a next group of Roll Deep. Them time it's getting new, younger lot. All these men were around my age. And they said, yeah, we're going to do Roll Deep, but like with some of you lot too. And that was, but it took, and Wiley didn't turn up for 3 days.
Yeah.
So I was going there every day. I'll leave and then I'd text him and say, yeah, I was there till, I don't know, 9, 10. Yeah. Like obviously I had to go back to Northwest sometimes there. And then he'll be like, oh yeah, go back tomorrow, yeah? They're saying, and we're there. I think after about 3 days he'd actually turn up. And then he said, oh yeah, this is Manga. I was like, yeah, we kind of know now just from proxy.
Yeah,
it's
why he continues to get the respect he deserves, because things like that, like not only what he did for it with his own music and career, the people he put together, the people in, and I will say I don't like or support a lot of the stuff he's said in recent years or done in recent years, but you can't deny how important the guy was to a whole scene. I said it wasn't just you can come and be on my track. It's like, go and meet with his producer and go, he's building your tracks there and your career, which is nothing, he's not getting anything out of that. And
I was just going to say, you never signed no one, not asking for no money.
Yeah.
He'd give you money if you couldn't get there.
Yeah.
He'll put it out, he'll do anything. Mm. And that's why everyone says about who made the first grime song. But I hear all that. So it's about the person who made the grime scene is Wiley. There's no debate about that. Mm-hmm. There's no anything.
Yeah.
The person who made the scene. He didn't make every single beat and he didn't invent the BPM of 140 or whatever it is, but he made the scene, make sure we could all work together. And even if we had nothing to do with, even the wars and the clashes and all that jazz, that's all to do with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even with what he said, I've heard people say about, oh, you know what he said before and that jazz. I hear that, And it's what the moment he said was wrong. And I think it was a bit... Well, a lot of the tweets at first were not at first. A lot of tweets afterward, actually, it was a lot of fake tweets, which was mad, like a lot.
Because
the problem he has is he had the manager and the lawyer, and they stole from him safe.
Yeah.
What he should have said is that these two men are pricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Straightforward.
But he said whatever he said, and corn, which is you know, when you type that in an Urban Dictionary, which is bullet, and it sounds all mad. But if we're talking normally, if you actually use that phrase in your normal phrase, it don't actually mean I'm going to go and do X, Y, Z.
You know what I'm saying?
But same time, it's not excusable because we have to remember we're on the internet.
Yeah.
When I'm on the internet, it's down for interpretation of whatever. And,
exactly.
And I always say, this is always the analogy I give that obviously I get asked this a lot, is that if someone, if you got go outside now and you get robbed by two black boys and you've gone in, oh, fuck black boys, fuck black people. I'll be like, bro, no, I'll never talk to you. So I get it. When people say, I get it. But you say, no, you know what is there? This happened and I said, okay, I actually understand what you mean by that. You know what I'm saying? But when you put it in there, it's forever, which is, you know what I'm saying?
Phones and social media apps should like scan your BPM and you can't post if you're too fucking,
it's true,
you're too fired up. Go and calm down for a minute and then react.
I agree, because true, but not excusing anything.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a joke, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, maybe you should have had your business back. Obviously, you could do it, buts and maybes. So you've just found this out. Let's say you found out you'd lost £2 million.
Yeah.
And saying
yeah.
you work hard, you know. What? And you said all this stuff.
Yeah.
Then again, people added fake tweets on, added put this on the rare. But the fact they've like locked him off is wrong, man. Like the way, like I said, obviously the manager shouldn't ever work with him. So I'm not filming it, but I'm just the manager shouldn't work with him. And again, if people say, yeah, I don't want to listen to his music, I don't, fair enough. You know what I'm saying, like I said, fair enough, brother. I hear you. I'm not trying to, but wow, he can't do anything. Nothing. You can't perform.
And that's the weird thing with all of this and the way things move. Like for me, yeah, it changed the way I listen to Wiley's music. That's me. That's me. I can't.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's that. But that's, I can take action on that. I can go, right, I won't support. If I choose to, I can say, right, I'm not going to be into that. Whereas it's a different thing to go, you can't. And
you know, you can't.
It's a tough one. It's complex.
That's the thing. Because you're right. It's true. Yeah. Like I said, I don't listen for whatever reason. Actually, not really music. I don't really listen to anyone, man. But like, follow on Twitter or something like that. I'll block Bear, but I'll block Piers Morgan. Bear people I've blocked from before. Obviously, they never said anything to me. I just get them out of my system. I see, oh, you're into that, yeah? Yeah, that's, so they didn't even appear.
I don't want you in my life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a decision. I hear it. But at the same time, and I'll go back to, he weren't like, he was doing this, not like he had years of this. It's not like, he's been, you know what I mean? He's been saying stuff and he's been doing things. And but it wasn't, let's say 4 hours of, it was wrong.
Yeah.
Out of your whole, since from 1990,
That's valid.
Do you know what I mean? So I think you should give people grace. But then again, I say that, if someone said, black people, I'm not sure myself.
Yeah. It's easy to debate and discuss, isn't it? But Russian doesn't come into it.
That's another thing. I know him.
Yeah.
So I know he's not that. Because if he was there's been bad people from our scene, bro.
Yeah.
And they're bad. They're horrible people.
That's come out of our
very horrible people. So, I'm not saying, I just know them all because it's Graham. They've been horrible people and I've got out of here, rightfully so. I just don't think he's one of them. I think he's done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a horrible person.
Yeah, and that's valid because of all the scenes, the Graham scene has been one of the most stringent to if someone is revealed to be wrong, like a bad person.
Yeah.
There's been some good kind of, right, no, fuck this guy,
Yeah, because no one wants to be near that. And, our thing's not, it's not bare money either,
Yeah.
It's not even like something like Hollywood or something, let's say Hollywood. Use Hollywood example. It's a Hollywood example. There's a lot of money riding on certain things.
Yeah.
So if someone's bad or like thingy, you can cover it up. There's so much thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas our thing, it's just more human.
Yeah.
So if you're a bad person, bro, you do like fuckery, we don't want to be around you. Yeah. Because I'm going to have to see you.
Yeah. Well, are we going to have to start to wrap things up soon?
Sorry.
I want to talk a little bit about, do you feel there was any negatives of being in Role D?
Yeah.
Because again, it is one of them. There's such a number of, like there's so many MCs. Yeah, it can be, you can get overlooked.
I've got loads of negatives.
Yeah.
Let me sit back.
You can come for.
No. The negatives of this year, one, in terms of me, let me say me.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I didn't grow up with them. I didn't know any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew Wiley wasn't about. And then during that time, I knew Flo Dan, who's the person, only other person who called me, really. But I'm talking like, what I'm saying is, 2004, 2005,
yeah.
2006. You know what I'm saying? And then as time went on, I got closer with Target and, well, everyone really, but like, I would roll out with Flo Dan or Target. You know what I'm saying? And obviously Wiley, but Wiley's been always on his mission. The negatives of being a roadie thing is that people think you're more famous and you're more successful than you are. And also you thinking that. That's what got me. Like, say that 2008 or 9. I haven't done anything. I'm just part of this crew.
Yeah.
And then this is all these man's doing. I started realizing, well, one of the reasons I changed my name to Manga St. Helair, or added on to Manga St. Helair, I mean, added on to Manga, is that 2012, or let's say 2013, I was sitting there and I thought, bro, I want to stop music. Obviously, there was no money coming in. Rolling things kind of stopped. We actually, this is after the two number ones in that jazz.
Yeah.
But that two number one time actually really showed me man's not done anything. Because I wasn't on any of them songs, but not like a thingy way. What I'm trying to say is that I saw, obviously, you went to New Heights. But then I realized we're not faint. The songs are big, but we're not big.
Yeah.
Like, we was turning up with people. Put it like this, Wiley never done no show with us, one show. Mm. And he's on both of them, two number one records. And the, no one cared in terms of like the crowd. Yeah. I realized they don't even care, know who any of us are.
Yeah.
They know these two songs. So we go there.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're going, we have two, we had longest number one of the whole year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like more than everyone, not just like UK thing, like everyone. You know what I'm saying? But no one knew who we were. So we would, let's say we get booked for a set for half an hour, 20, let's say 20 minutes, because it was like club. Let's say we do a club set for 20 minutes. We're coming out to When I'm Here. We're doing Heat Up. They're looking at us like, what the fuck is this? And then we do Good Times or Greenlight and they're all going mad. Well, you don't just know the songs. So that's what made me start realizing, first of all, I'm not famous. Mm. Second of all, we're not famous and I'm not successful yet.
Yeah.
And then Target was doing really, started doing really well at One Extra and Radio One.
Yeah.
J2K made Crep Protect.
Yeah.
That obviously started doing really well with that. Throwdown was going around the whole world with the bug. That was kind of, and then obviously Danny made good time. I got him in Green Light, which went up. People started doing things, and then other people wasn't doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who was living off the road eating. And I started thinking, if I stop now, and in 5 years' time, people are going to come up and be like, oh, yeah, you maybe might be on the bus. So I said, I remember you, the guy that was on When I'm Here, the 1 8 bar lyric. And at that point, I've been there for 10 years in this game. I thought, nah, man, it's put you to a false sense of security. Because people, actually, I'm saying other people, Skepta, Jamie, all the people was doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Not off the back of Roadie, but like in from we come from the same place basically.
Yeah.
And I realized I hadn't been working enough. I ain't done anything. I never done anything.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had all these ideas and I've executed them. Excuses. My main thing I was doing was radio. So again, I might have been a bit known, but I hadn't done anything. So that was some of the negatives making you think like you was a guy when the people was really working. Like I said, I never done as much work as Skepta or Wiley or Jamie or Flodan. Like nowhere near. Like today, obviously I'm playing way catch up. Today I work hard, innit? I'm saying like I said, I work hard. But them time I didn't. So a lot of the negatives were mainly giving you false insecurity, thinking you're worth whatever you think you're worth in your head.
What was the motivation then? Or what was that switch point? Because it feels to me it was around like, even like 2017 or 18 or something, that so you started to then go, bang. It was a bit before,
No, it was 2014, 15.
Yeah,
the world switched. I think the first time was Outburst, which came out in 2016. Mm-hmm. But before then, I was working towards. That's why when I said I'd done Outburst, I said I'd put all my ideas into the thing.
Yeah.
So what happened is we had, obviously, at 2010, 11, we had the number ones. Yeah. We'd done the tour. We'd done all that stupid shit. It was really great. Then it kind of stopped. Then everyone starts thinking they're famous. Everyone starts living life. Again, remember, I'm the youngest. I'm 38 now, I'm one of the youngest. I think I was the youngest at the time. Yeah. Let's say I was. I don't know. But if you get what I'm saying, anyway, these men, it's obviously they're living life. Man are buying houses. Certain men are getting married. Everyone just doing stuff. And then everyone know what to go. No one was going to studio anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Fona kicked going studio and Target kicked going studio and myself. And then we had a Roll Deep studio and it was like, oh, we need to stop paying for it, man. Because when obviously the money dries up, you know what I'm saying? They start looking at what you can cut the expenses. Yeah, yeah. And if people want to cut the expense of the studio, to me, I thought, why are you guys expensive the studio?
That's the main thing.
That's the main thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But obviously, man, I come to one again. They've been doing it longer than me at this point. So I hear it. But long story short, Target and Flow then got our own studio. Mm-hmm. It was only like a small little box thing. And that's it. We just started from there. But I think I broke out of my ex. I was back at my mum's. I had no job. I had no money. But I had the studio. And it was in Bethnal Green on Cambridge Heath Road. And I was just in there 24/7.
Yeah.
24/7. I had not say I had nowhere to live. I could go back to Mark. Like, by them time now, I think I was like 20 something. Or whatever. I was a big age. I can't be hanging around the house. So I just stayed there. And then I was just there every day. So that is where I learned I can be, that's why I started being vulnerable.
Yeah.
So I just recorded myself. So because I was in this dark room for 24/7 basically. Recorded, because Target was always busy, so he wasn't really there that much. And again, Flodan was there often, but again, he's busy. So he'd pop in, he would record whatever, get his ideas. But I was there, I could be there. I'm there 24 hours a day. You know what I'm saying? So I can, if I had an idea, maybe I'll sing on this bit or I'll talk about how I'm feeling here. And I don't feel embarrassed because we do it in a road studio where there's 35 man them.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like Rico's there. We're not going to, you know what I mean? Rico used to rob banks, but we're not going to, like, do you know what I mean? Me talking about how I make my ex baby feel is a bit weird. But so I was by myself a lot. And then that's why I physically learned how to record myself. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where it started. Boom. And then obviously I started putting things out on SoundCloud and rare. And it, again, the ideas were there, but it wasn't there. And then once I started, I just kind of saved that money or whatever. And I said, no, I'm going to go and make outbursts.
Yeah.
I'm going to put every idea I have to the maximum thing I can do. And then I saw it start working a bit.
Yeah.
I said, right. Again, it didn't come out and do millions of streams. But people who did hear it was like, this is good. And it kind of showed people I can make music, grime music.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it's always a good spitter.
Yeah.
If that. Sometimes people didn't even like me. But let's say, you know what I'm saying? So I thought, cool. And that's why I got comfortable making projects and doing that. And I realized, it can be done. If you just got, it sounds so thingy. Obviously, I've been lucky as well because I'm still like classes like a legacy act because of Road Deep. And obviously, certain things has happened to me or happened because of what was because of the crew before and because I've been around a length of time. So certain relationships I've built up or whatever. But ultimately, get better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like even today, like everything's under control. I'm happy with it. I know there's a next, like I said, like I don't get in her Gets album yet. Force Gets his album coming out as well. I know because I know they're going to be better than mine.
Right.
In terms of like obviously they're talking about story, but there's gonna be the video is gonna be better, the production, it's gonna get because he's at a different level to me at the moment. But at the moment, everything's under control. This is the most I can do. That's what it is. Every project I try to do the most.
Yeah.
That whatever I have, and this one, I'll be quite lucky. Like I said, Mournite's an amazing producer. So any ideas I've had, we can do to a high level because he can make any music. I don't know, he's an alien. And then I've got like a publisher now. I've got a PR apparently. You know what I'm saying? Like all these, like, not apparently. I've got a PR. So I'm trying to say is that, obviously that's not to do with the creatives. I say, I've got a publisher. My publisher's really good. They're Metropolis Music. Like if I say I need to use a studio, like because I can't record at home anymore, like it's a bigger studio. It's not even just the environment's nicer. I can say, can you take that off that credit on my account?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
I can't afford £700 a day studio. But if I say, look, put that against my balance and then when my publishing thing comes in, do you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is it's not loads more resources. It's literally just been a different producer and a nicer studio in this element. And that's what made me could do this. So imagine now, let's say I get a deal and I get, you know what I mean? I can just do what I want, like my whole thingy.
Yeah.
Then I can get to where it gets is, where Skepta is.
Again, it's interesting though. You talk about levels and I think it's like I see as each album that you release you're knowing you more.
That's what
rather than levels. Someone could have the penthouse apartment but you walk in and you're like this ain't you. This is out of a catalogue, whereas they go down to your
you'll see them
above the middle round apartment and they can see you. They can see everything in there, you know.
That's a better way of putting it. I agree. Because it's not like, man, that's so much better than me. I don't, but honestly, not being thingy, they are better than me at some stuff, but I don't believe that. And they've done more work. They've put in more time and put in more their life is that. And I have to be honest with that.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm kind of like even though I've been around for a long time, I still feel like I'm at this, maybe closer to the middle of my journey now with this project, my journey. Like, so I start my thing at 2016, really. Manga thing, manga from Road Deep, my thing from 2016. Yeah. So I had to build out everyone. So again, I always say like in London, I can sell about 300 tickets maybe.
Yeah.
And that's my hotel. Outside London, not so much, rare. If Skept puts on a show now, he can sell out whatever he wants. Skept can do whatever. He can say, come to go outside now, there'll be 10,000 people outside.
Yeah.
And that's only because they trust his name. He's been here for years. He's been going hard for years. And they trust his name. So when he gives him a project, so when he puts out a project now, and then we talk about Jamie. Jamie's a better example for me at the moment. Yeah, Jamie, they know what they're going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
If you love grime, when Jamie says, here's my next whatever, it's going to be great.
Well, Jamie and Skepta are both great examples though, because you're talking about time. And like, they blew up kind of as Jamie and Skepta, rather than as Jamie and Skepta from Roll Deep. There was that bit of distance. So as you're saying, it's still, you started doing you properly in 2016.
No, they never relied on Roll Deep. Roll Deep more maybe relied on them.
Yeah.
Jamie was Jamie before. Jamie from Meridian. So was Skepta. Yeah. Skepta was Meridian. Then they done way better, no?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, Roll Deep them way better, no? But I'm just saying, they was always themselves.
That's
what I want to do. When I say I didn't want to be part of Roll Deep, the Roll Deep team, I just want to be, obviously, 1,000,000% want to be part of it. I said, I love my brothers, you know what I'm saying? But it's more like, I wanted to have my own thing too. The same way Skepta can stand over there and be Skepta. The same way, look, people don't even associate Kano or Getz or Jammer or Sharky Major with Nasty Crew anymore.
Yeah.
They don't say, oh, you're from Nasty Crew. Or Lethal B with More Fire.
Yeah.
They say he's Lethal B, or they say Gets his Gets. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not even a thing like that. So when I say the role deep thing, that's what it is. And again, some people stayed in the role deep thing, and some people made the lane. I just wanted to be one of them.
Yeah. I love it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. And you've got me now, all I want in the world is MCs going back to back, one doing a proper road fucking chewing up the mic and one doing real emotional, beautiful. like you're saying how you couldn't do that in Roll Deep at that time. Yeah. That'd be perfect now. Just
come to
really,
my show on Thursday. That's another thing what's good about me doing my own shows. Yeah. Like, I literally have, I've got the time. My first headline show, when I've done Outburst 01, my one's called 04. Yeah. I was crying on stage, bro. Because again, it was part of my brother and sister.
Yeah.
They weren't talking at the time. And they was there. They were both there in the crowd. One was, my brother was on the stage here behind me. My sister was there. And I was getting to the bar. And I didn't think it hit me. And I was sitting and I said the bar and I looked at my sister. Then I went to turn away and my brother was there.
You can't escape.
It kind of hit me. But then everyone started cheering.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you build up your thing,
man, yeah.
When you build up your supporters or whatever it is, they just understand who you are. Whereas before, I can't do that at Grime MCFM. I can't do that at Eskimo, especially Eskimo Dance 2003. Yeah. Mad thing. But then straight after that, I've done different pattern. And everyone's like, my thing's pattern. It's so like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah.
I just want to show people you don't have to be one thing. That's it.
I love it. It's beautiful. And I appreciate you taking the time, man. It's been a pleasure. It's
been great, bro. Great conversation. You.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was Manga St. Hilaire. Amazing. Amazing. You could tell we could have talked for hours and hours on end. I'm going to give you guys a little insight now. I didn't tell Manga this, right? For some reason, the memory card I was using for this somehow had a load of other stuff on. So just before we were about to record, it told me that I only had an hour and 13 minutes left. And I thought, it'll be fine. We normally wrap things up in an hour. But as a lot of you will also know, I'm not good at going, oh, we got to stop talking now. Because I get excited. I want to talk loads. I want to continue and ride the wave. So this conversation came to a natural conclusion at 1 hour, 12 minutes and about 23 seconds. So I was sweating at the end there. You didn't even notice. I sounded dead relaxed. Go skip back like a couple of minutes. Look how relaxed I sound. I was sweating, mate, because we were about to run out. I just thought if we overrun and it doesn't record, I'll just say there was a technical issue at the end. But then I started to panic that if it does that, imagine if it wipes the whole episode. I don't know. I was panicking, man. So, hell of a conversation. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I'll be back next week. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.